Hey guys, how are you doing today? Welcome to another episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akinta. And today I have a man that has become all of us doctor, right? See, every day giving us ideas on how to live healthy. And the way he add humor to it has just made him beloved everywhere. How are you doing today? We have a Procode doctor.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Such an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, how did you come up with that name? To call yourself a Poco. That indeed, I'm a doctor that is all up in your business.
Yeah. I think it was more serendipity, yeah? Okay. We were trying to look for something that was going to catch the attentions of a Nigerians because... Health was not something that was on front, right, and center. Mm-hmm. No, health was something you thought about when you were ill.
Exactly.
Not when you are fine.
And you are scared of the conversation of health.
Most people just avoided health. And we needed it front, right, and center.
Nice.
And so one of the things we had to fix was the name, which was, how do we catch the attention? So we had to put two things that were never in the same box before.
Wow.
Doctor and Amebo. It was supposed to be Amebo Doctor, but okay. Then... After a while, we then realized that Amebo was a woman's name.
Okay.
You know, really? That just talked too much. So, like, let's just make it as gender neutral as possible. Okay. Apoko.
Nice. But what were you doing before that time?
What I was doing before, because this idea actually started in 2015.
10 years ago.
Yes, it's been 10 years now.
Wow. But it didn't go viral like until 5 years ago.
No, yeah. It was, I think it was until COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
But just before COVID, you know, just before COVID, the foundation started. Mm-hmm. Then COVID was like the quick fire. Mm-hmm. But before then, I met this particular man who was sick. Mm. Came with a transient stroke with his son. His son... then I, you know, took his history as a student then. And for some reason, 2 years later, I came back to the ward to practice on patients for my final exam. Mm-hmm. And I met this man again. And this time he had another stroke and he didn't make it.
Wow.
And that entire conversation got me thinking, this man had been here before.
Yeah.
The doctor told him what to do.
Yeah.
What happened? And, you know, things like he wasn't paying attention to the doctor's, you know, recommendations. And so I started to ask a few questions. And one of the things I understood at that age was people did not understand healthcare. So a patient comes to the hospital and the doctor tells them, you have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
They go and tell other people, I have high blood pressure. But they don't know.
There is an abu in our eyes.
Yes, but they don't know what it is. They don't know the concept of high blood pressure. And so because they don't know that, every other thing the doctor is telling you to do feels more like a chore rather than something you should adhere to. Mm. And so we started to break down, you know, health conversation to people in the villages because I schooled in a rural area. So we went to the villages, spoke to the women, taught them. But it was more like I was spending so much energy and getting very little results. And so somewhere along the line, I was like, okay, I think I should do radio.
Okay.
I applied to two radio stations in Anambra State. Wow. And they said, we don't think your voice is good enough for radio. We don't
Jesus.
Think, yeah. Granted, I wouldn't have hired me then, you know. But this was me knowing that we needed the conversation to grow bigger at that particular time. So they said, don't worry, next time, right?
Wow.
But that was the advent of, you know, digital media, social media. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I could start with social media. I didn't even start with videos. I started with images because I had learned some graphic designing somewhere in school. Okay. So even as a medical student, so I could do some graphic designing and I was using that to spread, you know, the messages.
Nice.
But nobody was paying attention. I mean, it's not so, I know him. So, but... One day, something happened, and I told a story about it, and it went viral.
Wow.
And that's when it set off something in my head. It was, people love stories.
They do. They do.
So I realized that I'm putting the cart before the horse. I'm putting the information before the gist.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was paying
attention.
And Nigerians
love this guy. Hey.
We think it's just Nigerians. Humans generally.
No, but our own is a bit. So, Nigerians love gist. Yeah. You know, our own is a bit on the high side.
Is it? So, there are different parts of the human mind.
Yes.
There's the logical mind.
Yeah.
And then there's the emotional mind.
Yeah.
Right? Stories excite the emotions,
yes,
and not
it
logic.
Does. It does.
We remember things that give us emotions, not logic. As a matter of fact, in this over-communicated world that we live in today, the human mind almost has capacity for 7 things that they are interested in.
Wow.
Ask many Christians. Give me the 10 commandments. They've been going to church.
And they can't decide.
They can't. Most likely just give you 6 or 7 and that's it. Because no matter how much you flood the mind with, it can only retain certain parts of the information. It's just a weakness that we have.
Wow.
So except you're like interested in that topic that you go back over and over again, you're able to retain more.
Yeah.
But because we're bombarded with so much information, one of the ways to pass through that is to use stories. Because when you use stories, it excites the emotions. Mm. The emotions tend to retain more of what they're emotionally excited about. That's why it looks like gist works. You can remember a gist from 5 years ago, but we'll hardly remember the lines from the book you've read. So, yes, it's a Nigerian thing, but it's more a human
thing. It's a human
thing. So it's just us using that way to now educate Nigerians. Because before now, part of me would have just complained. You know, people are not interested in education. They are not interested in this. But yes, it's a problem. But there's also a back road to solving that problem, which is, you know, using gist. So before Apropos Doctor, that was more how we now started to use stories. We now brought in characters. And I was working in 3 hospitals at that time. I was doing Ihiane Sola, First Stark, and Victoria Island, all at the same
one
time.
One man?
Yes.
Why?
All at the same time.
Why were you doing that?
First off...
For the money?
Yes. First off, I needed a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I needed money to, you know, write my exams to leave the country.
Yeah.
One salary was not good enough for that. At the same time, first son, you're partly responsible. If you come from the kind of background that I do, you're partly responsible
and
for
from
the
Igbo tribe.
Yes, I am.
What state?
In most states.
In more.
Okay. Yeah. So you're responsible for your parents, you know, they've invested in your education. Now is the time to pay them back. You know, demands are coming in and all that. You also have the plans for your life. So it was, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
The natural instinct is, you know what? Increase the amount of work you do.
Wow. 3. So,
yeah. At some point, I was living off my backpack.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there was no point going home. I could only go home two weekends in a month. Because everything I needed was in my backpack.
Well, you were not married then.
No, I wasn't. I'm not sure the marriage would have lasted.
No man can stand such. Wow.
Yeah. So that was what I was doing while at the same time.
So was this supposed to free you from having to work 3 jobs?
For some reason, no. So, I never started Apropos Doctor to get famous.
Mm.
I never started it. I never even knew
you were
that there was a way to make money
from doing that.
From doing this.
Yeah.
It was more of, there is a problem.
Yeah.
Let's solve it.
Wow.
The problem was health illiteracy. People were literate in other aspects. But when it came to health, health illiterate. And so I was like, okay, this is a problem. It's affecting us. Our behaviors are influenced by what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to change what we know.
Yeah.
So solve the problem. And I did that for 5 good years.
Wow.
Before a company said, you know what? We'd like to partner with the work you're doing. That was the first time. 5 years after. First time. And it was Opera. They said, we want you to write articles.
Hmm.
And for these articles, we'll pay you a certain amount
per
month. I said, how many articles? They said, 10. How much are you paying me? They told me the amount.
Said,
it was 4 times my salary.
Jesus.
4 times.
Wow.
And I was like, Why are you paying me this much?
You ask them.
This is something I write. This is something I write without even thinking about it.
Wow.
Right? Because I was writing threads, but like, okay, don't write the threads on Twitter again. Come to our site and write it and then direct people to come there, you know, look at it. Then I didn't understand what was going on. But, you know, it was the first time I could see that people are actually willing to partner with us for this. Yeah. So, for 5 years, I'd been doing this without any form of... It wasn't a way out of poverty for me. It was more of... It was just a vision I couldn't let go of.
Wow.
No matter how hard I tried.
Wow.
Funny story. I had tried to get out of the country, you know, PLAB, USMLE, so many times. But for some reason, even though I paid, I couldn't just continue because I felt, okay, you know what? Let me do this first. Sort it out first. People called me fool.
Wow.
And to some extent, yes. Because at some point, even my father had to sit me down like, and say, how far? Like, how far? You're telling me your mates are leaving the country. Is there anything you need from us to actually help your journey go easy? Because leave.
Yeah. It's time to japa.
But for some reason, I just couldn't continue because it felt like there was a greater problem here. And I had been someone who, in my days in school, I had fell in love with the idea and the concept of purpose.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, somewhere in school,
that's a good one.
I fell in love with that idea. I knew that I was not on earth to just while away time. There's a problem I've been specifically designed to solve.
Come on.
And this is it. So, it could be that madness. I could call it that.
Yes, I had to my own shit.
I just couldn't let go of it. And looking back at it now, I think I'm glad I didn't.
Because nobody would have known you if you were in America. You know, if you're in America. I mean, the whole apropos thing, why add humor? Because I think there was the humor that, well, attracted me to it. There was a gentleman. He's not been active again. He too was, around that COVID, he was also visible. Something doctor too. But he's no longer as visible as you are. I'm not even sure if he's still doing it. But yours had so much humor that, you know, was that intentional? Did you have to, you know,
yes, it was just aha. Yes, it was intentional. It was intentional because, as we had spoken earlier, there's the education. The only people that look for education are the people that need it.
True.
It's a small group.
And by the time they need it, it's an emergency.
Yes. And by the time they need it, it's an emergency. They are not just listening to you, they are listening to everybody else.
Yes.
Which is why somebody who is at the, you know, somebody who is not informed enough and needs a healthcare would look at every option. Doctor, Babalawo, they are looking at every option because it's an emergency.
True.
The brain is in panic mode.
Yes. Yes.
And when people are panicking,
the
mind defaults to familiar.
That's deep.
The mind defaults to what is familiar, not what they learned yesterday.
Wow.
So you could tell a person what they've learned yesterday, but then they get into a state of panic.
Yes.
And they forget everything you've taught them and go for what is familiar.
Wow.
So, we saw that problem early. And the question was, how do we ensure that they listen to this over and over and over and over and over again?
Yeah.
The question was, the answer was entertainment. So, for us, entertainment is not the goal. Entertainment is just the vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's like when you were growing up and your parents wanted to give you medicine, they'll wrap it inside a bar and then give it to you. So you're swallowing a bar, but at the same time, you're swallowing paracetamol. So we needed to wrap the information in humor. Because if you just bring it as information, and this came from learning.
Yes.
Because I didn't always start out as apropos. This is me on a normal day.
Okay.
I'm more, let's talk sense. I don't want asinine conversations, right? But
you want deep conversation. You know,
let's have the deep conversations. But then you're having the deep conversations and nobody's paying attention.
Exactly.
So
there are very few people who can relate at that level. Yeah.
So it was more of, if we wrap it in humor, it appeals to everybody.
Absolutely.
But the beautiful thing about it is, even when we wrapped it in humor, we didn't appeal to plenty of people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, fellow colleagues
were the first set.
Were the first set to say, I don't like what he's doing.
Oh.
Yes.
I thought they liked it.
No, I don't like what he's doing because medicine is a noble profession.
It's for the prim and proper.
Prim, proper society. Why are you acting like a tout?
Lord have mercy with our people.
Why are you acting like a tout?
Like an abiru.
Yes. And I try to explain that I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, there was now another group of people who had risen up and were like, he doesn't talk like he's educated.
Oh, wow.
And so that raised another question. And I'm like, no, I'm speaking the Nigerian language.
Yes.
Because one of the first things I needed to understand was I sat down and I asked myself, who am I speaking to?
Mm-hmm. You know, Igechi?
The everyday Nigerian?
Yeah.
Yes. Speaking to the market woman who's currently on her phone right now scrolling through TikTok. What kind of information will she be willing to accept?
Yeah.
By the time I speak verbose English and, you know, wrap it in a few...
Speak for next.
Yes. It felt like you were trying to impress your audience, not to inspire them.
True.
So the humor was deliberate because we needed to grab the attention. Because right now we live in something I call an over-communicated world.
Wow.
There is so much information.
Too much.
Than you can ever consume in your life.
Yeah.
Currently.
It's too much.
So how do you break through the noise and get them to actually listen to you? I had to be relatable. So I had to speak the way Nigerians speak.
Yes.
I had to talk the way they talk. I had to sound like them. If they don't see you as their friend, they don't trust you.
Yeah.
So, yes, doctor. But then people lie to doctors. So, yeah, humor deliberates. It was meant as a vehicle to, you know, wrap the information across.
I mean, when I look at how Nigerians, in my own opinion, and is human as well.
Yeah.
But our context is Nigeria for now. It's like they condemn you, then they praise you. You become some sort of hero of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull you down. Because suddenly for them it's like, it'd be like they don't be proud. You don't be, okay, we'll show you that we made him.
Yeah.
And then first of all, when you as you evolve this brand, did you see the possibility of that ever coming? And then what was your mind as to how to handle the days when controversies begin? People begin to misconstrue their new intentions. And you are like, can't you trust me again? Like, it's me and you people, remember?
So, it's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have had my fair shares of controversies, drags.
Oh, and I just can't do that.
Online bullying. From different groups.
We hear Luna.
From different groups, different people, different sects. Today is one sect that is attacking you. Tomorrow is another different sect. But my first love has always been the mission. What is the mission? To empower Nigerians with information. That has always been the mission. If you wake me up from sleep, any day, anytime, that will be what I'll tell you. It it's difficult
yeah.
to stay that focused for 10 years.
It is.
It is. Especially when sometimes you get tempted to want to take the popular opinion that might be wrong.
Yeah.
But at that time, I'm asking myself, am I really interested in credibility or am I interested in being popular? So those are difficult questions that I ask. Because at the end of the day, time tells.
Yes. Yes.
You can't fight it. You might, quote and unquote, be the victim of online bullying today. And tomorrow the truth comes out.
Yeah.
The people who bullied you,
they will still come back.
They will still come back.
Time reveals character.
They might not necessarily come and tell you, oh, we're sorry that we bullied you. Yeah. But like, it's fine.
But yeah, another, he said the truth. Though. I know.
That's what. Number two is, why am I doing what I'm doing? Over the years, I've had to evolve.
Okay.
When I was very young, well, when I say this, it looks like I'm old. But when I was younger, I wanted validation from people.
Oh, I like this. I like this.
I wanted validation from people. That was why I did what I did.
Yeah.
So I said it because I wanted you to like me. I did it because I wanted you to like me. But then when I realized how very fickle human beings are, people change. Their tastes change. Imagine you being jollof rice today, and then you wake up tomorrow and somebody says, I don't like jollof rice. I don't have depression. But if the focus is sustenance, whether or not you like jollof rice, you will find a way to eat it. So the moment I realized, okay, hinge your anchor on a purpose, on something that's very important.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change.
True.
So, will I continue to empower Nigerians at every stage of my life? Yes, I will. So, if you don't like me today, it's fine.
It's okay.
I'm probably empowering your child with information they need.
True. True.
You may not like me.
Yes.
It's fine.
It's okay.
I'm probably empowering your mom.
Yes.
With information she needs.
In the village.
So, it's not whether you like me.
Yes.
It's whether what I'm doing is valuable.
I love this.
And that has been the most important thing. Because probably after this show, the fist even dragged me again. So it's fine.
And again, this is a leadership podcast. And the goal was, even starting this show, was we wanted to start having some serious conversation. Because it's also... You know, sometimes we complain that people are moved by idle conversations, but the problem is, did you provide an alternative
True.
For those who want serious conversations? Because not everybody wants trash, you know, trust me. Some people still want deep conversations. I was shocked the day someone was telling me that, you know, Mike Adenuga watched this podcast and was sending the link to him. So not everybody, sometimes we just forget that there is still a crop of people that want certain type of conversation. You know, for me, that was what birthed this podcast, to say, look, let those who want to be talking rubbish just for the buzz do that. There's still, we may be small, but there's still that crop of people who really want value. We want something deep, something sensible. And we just can't give up because somebody doesn't like your face today and tomorrow they wake up, you are the best thing since sliced bread. So my next question would be family. I can assure you, and I'm sure you have seen that a lot of people probably think you're single. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that have received you as their husband.
Yes. There are plenty.
There are plenty. So officially, can you tell us, are you married or you are single?
I have been married happily for 5 years now.
Okay. Ah, you're spoiling some people's market right now. He's married. Happily. Are you hearing the word happily?
For 5 years now.
You guys have kids? Not yet.
Not yet.
Not okay. yet.
But you've kept your wife hidden from Landlight.
There are a couple of reasons why. Yeah. Number one is she also has a brand.
Okay.
And
is he a famous brand?
Yes, too? It is. It is. She's what I call the queen of Afrofusion. So her goal is she wants to, because when we think African ingredients, most people think local and not deserving of the international stage.
Okay.
So she's trying to show that African ingredients can be incorporated in dishes that can be served around the world in the way that everybody is comfortable.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And she's been doing amazingly beautiful. Wow. She recently had a third edition of Chow with Amaka, where she brings people and they are served quote unquote intercontinental dishes with African ingredients.
Wow.
You would have no idea. There's one she's running again that's supposed to come up this year and is in collaboration with Lagos Continental.
Nice.
So
nice.
She's a titan in her own world.
Wow.
Right? But I think beforehand, people, when they want to attack me, attack her. So I'm like, you know what?
People do that.
Yeah.
So
people that want to attack you.
Yeah.
Because they know I've tried to get his attention. Yes. And he's looking like he's not paying him.
A strong guy. He
realizes he's not paying him.
Yes.
Attack his wife. Because they feel like they can get a reaction off you then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? Build your brand. I'll support you the best way I can.
Yeah.
Right? But just so that they don't use you as ammo.
True.
Because sometimes if they want to destabilize you also, they can attack me in front of you. So there are people who know that, these two are married.
Yeah.
But when it comes to every two market days, you are seeing two of us kissing on social media. No, it's not really something. It's not really something I want to put out there.
True.
Because it's almost like giving. Not everybody who follows you is friend.
True.
You know, you have to really differentiate who's family, who are your people.
True.
So most times, like if it doesn't need to be public, it doesn't need to be public.
Mm.
So,
but. Over time, have you thought of this 50 years from now?
Yes, I have.
So, children comes in, grandchildren comes in. And the best way to look at your brand is to look at because that's probably one of the oldest brands we can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Either the Geo, you know, in the medical field, right? So their children, their grandchildren, you know, and you are still known all over.
Well, that time will come. But what we've even started doing is training other health professionals to become better storytellers.
Okay. So you pull out. That's what I wanted to hear. I want to know whether you can keep going.
I mean, even the human body has limited capacity for the amount of
sheer work it takes. No, but pastors have no choice. They've been preaching 50 years.
But they've trained other people.
They have, but they are still out there.
Yes.
They're like the biggest.
Yes. But we're serving a continent and only one person can't.
Mm.
And you can't build an industry on the shoulders of one person.
We don't. I'm just giving you that same context.
The
context is, yes, there are other people, but you'll be like the pioneers. There are other pastors, there are other churches. Because I'm here, Adeboye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is sitting at the apex. So, a proco doctor at the apex.
I would...
That's why I asked you whether you've thought of this 50 years down the line. I've been asking myself this question. How long do we... what will the world look like 50 years from now? You know...
To be honest, none of us know. We can speculate.
Yeah.
We can speculate, but nobody saw COVID. Nobody saw COVID. COVID.
It's probably one careless statement from somebody somewhere that changes the entire trajectory of the world.
Hmm.
And all your projections and speculations go down the drain.
True.
So we can prepare, right? But I know that 50 years from now, we'll be dealing with different problems that we're dealing with now.
Robotics.
Yes.
AI. You know, probably people would prefer AI Apoko Doctor than...
I mean, there are even people using my face.
Yes.
With AI.
To create content.
To create content and mislead other people.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're selling medications to these people on Facebook.
That's terrible.
Yes, they are doing that. Terrible. Terrible. Like, I wake up every morning and they're like, yeah, there's another one out.
Oh, Lord.
And
do you disclaimer? Do you
we try do legal but, actions? So most of How the faces many? Even selling are faceless people, right?
So who and wants
by to? The time you shut one down, like three have risen.
Jesus.
And at some point, while I was complaining, someone told me, said, that's the price you pay for influence. Said they're not using it, they're not using any other person's face because they know that. Is not convincing enough.
Yes.
People that know Apoko.
Yes.
So once you use Apoko's face.
We believe.
Once you use Apoko's face, there are people who use other people like, you know, see Ronaldo, just create some AI, small thing, but they know that they can't grow bigger than that. They just need to swindle a few people.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of the prices that we'll pay. But one of the things that are happening that I love currently is in the comment section of those people, some other people are now going to tell them, this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is fake.
Yeah.
This is not correct.
True.
And when I see comments like that, it gives me joy. I'm like, yes, that's an empowered person.
That's true.
Now, we now need that empowerment so that other people are able to recognize that this is not real healthcare information. True. This is sensationalism.
True.
So... It's at the end of the day, is that empowerment, but empowerment with knowledge. Because when we say empowerment, most times people just think financial empowerment. But if you have all the finance, but you don't have all the, you know, you don't have the information, it will go down the drain. And I'm sure you're very well aware. You've seen people who have a lot of money.
True.
Or they came by a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know information.
All.
You lose it all.
Yeah, lost it all. For you... what's the future of medical doctors in Nigeria? Everybody's japping. We're told about shortage of doctors, you know. What can be done about this?
I'd say it's a problem that requires all the different arms to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the private sector, right? And whether we like it or not, the private sector still has a role to play in our... in our medical advancement as a country.
Yeah.
There is government.
Mm.
Right? And then there's the doctors themselves.
Yeah.
We need to, first of all, on the part of the government, send a clear message that health is priority.
Mm. Health is priority.
Yes. Because before we say health is well, health is first life.
Yeah. True.
If you don't take care of the health and people die,
yeah,
who then will you govern? That's one. We need more money into the healthcare sector. Because since 2001, when we made the Abuja Declaration, Nigeria and other African countries came together and said, we're doing the Abuja Declaration. We'll put 15% of our budget into healthcare. Nothing has been done. We've not gotten to that number. Because our spending habits show where our priorities lie.
True.
Health has to be priority. Health can no longer be treated as something that is humanitarian.
It has to be profitable. It has to be profitable. Yes.
For some reason, you have to make it profitable. Or else you're not even going to attract investment into the healthcare space.
What's the minimum salary you think? If doctors start receiving in Nigeria, they will stay in Nigeria.
To be honest, there's no number, right?
But give a range.
If I were to give a range... I'd say 1 million and above.
Including graduates?
Yes.
Why? Because that's a lot. 1 million as a graduate. Why?
It's medicine.
You can't put a price to life.
You cannot put a price to life.
Yes.
I'll take you back to a story. At some point, I was practicing in IMSUT. IMSUT is a teaching hospital in Imo State.
Yeah.
So I went there to do my house job. And while I was doing my house job, they told us that they were going on strike. Why? Because it's a rural area, the government is supposed to give you what is called a rural incentive. It happened in every other country. The fact that you live in a populated city, so less populated one, I will give you some form of incentive to stay in that city.
Yeah.
They took away the incentive and reduced the salaries. And so the doctor said, you know what? We're going on strike. And they went on strike. I just started my house job. Started my house job and I started with strike. 3 months. And the government said, all these months that people are striking, I'm not going to pay you people for it. Because it's no work, no pay. Everybody says, so you know what? That's fine. Now, we finally get back to work. No increments in salary, nothing. We're basically bullied by the government. We said, you know what? You guys just have to go back to work. And then we got back to work, and doctors were not making a lot of money. And so some doctors had to do 3 jobs. So this was me doing 3 jobs in Lagos. Mm. Imagine in Imo State, you're doing 3 jobs, but you're also working in a teaching hospital.
Mm.
Now, I want you to imagine that you entered an aircraft, and they told you that your pilot had not slept for 2 days. Would you feel comfortable in that aircraft? No.
No.
But how come you go to a hospital, you don't care about the state of your doctor? As a matter of fact, the more patients a doctor sees in a day without rest, the higher his chances of error.
Wow.
Because fatigue sets in.
True.
In anywhere in the world.
Very true.
Which is why they usually have check marks against this. So your doctor can leave your hospital and immediately start working in another hospital. All he needs is just that transport time from one hospital to the other hospital.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think if the quality of his thoughts are the same than when he started. There was a time I used to see 60 patients in a day.
60?
Yes.
Jehovah.
60.
Jehovah.
The WHO standard ratio for doctors is 1 to 4,000. One doctor to 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We are not anywhere close to that.
How many do we have in Nigeria?
Let me give you orthopedic surgeons. No. Let me not give you orthopedic. Let me give you brain surgeons.
Mm.
I dare say, you can check this after, because I'm not sure yet. We do not have up to 500
brain doctors.
Neurosurgeons.
In Nigeria.
Yes. We have a population of 200 million people. You know what? 500 is too conservative. 1,000.
That's bad.
Yes. So first of all, we don't have enough.
Mm. Yet they are not even leaving.
The ones that are around are leaving. So it means that people who are left behind are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way for them to come back is you have to match whatever it is
you're
going out there to get. But not everybody wants to leave. There are people that want to stay.
Mm.
But then the people that want to stay, can you make their sacrifice worth it?
Mm.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Which is, but then they say, oh, you're calling, your reward is in heaven. No, man. It's here on earth too. Because it's almost as if the moment you say you're a doctor and then you go to the market, people charge you higher.
Mm. True.
They charge you higher.
True.
But then they come to your hospital and for some reason they just expect. So the reason I'm saying that is because you need, the same way nobody asks how much should pilots be paid.
Yeah.
You just know a pilot is paid well.
Even if
to live comfortably. But then you now have people who are in charge of you. A simple change in a number can be the difference between life and death. And so at every point, you need the doctor's mental acumen to be sharp. It means overloading it becomes a problem.
True. True.
So we need to be paid well in order to give the best. Or else, if you go to a doctor who is already tired, the chances that there are errors are high. What is the way forward? We cannot churn out enough doctors in the meantime. Right? Hmm. That gap will still remain. But then there's technology. And I hate to say this, but artificial intelligence will change the game in almost every sector, including healthcare.
Yeah, it will.
It will.
Big time.
But we're not big looking time. At it as replacing. We're looking at it as a collaboration. Mm-hmm. So it's helping me do my job faster.
Yeah.
But it still needs human input to be able to make that decision. Because, yes, AI may be able to make certain diagnoses faster, read MRIs faster, accurately, sometimes even as accurately as trained radiologists. Yeah. But then there's the patient in front of me. Because in medical school, one of the first things you're taught is that you treat the patient, not the condition. Because two people might have the same condition, but view them differently. So you treat the patient and not the condition. So that's where that collaboration comes in. Now we have ultrasound scans that are interpreted by AI. Some of them can even fit into your phone. This is changing the game because there are a lot of villages that have never seen an ultrasound scan and there are women doing antenatal.
Wow. Wow.
That has to go there to help them. And the way some of this is done is that you don't even need a trained doctor. You just need a trained person to know how to use it and a doctor somewhere is interpreting the results. So while these gaps still remain, there are still other gaps. There are traditional bone setters, for instance, and everybody knows that I'm vocal against them. Yeah. Why? Because of the kind of damage that they've done. 40%, 40 to 50% of the cases end up really bad.
Yeah.
But then nobody tells you about the ones that are bad. They just tell you, a good set leg there, it went well. One thing we can do is because that gap will still remain and we don't have enough orthopedic surgeons, somehow you have to incorporate them and train.
True. True.
Traditional bed attendants, train them. Because whether you like it or not, people will go there. You don't have enough doctors. It's not saying people go to the hospital. If they go to the hospital, we'll take care of them. So we have to look for other innovative ways to solve this problem and also bring technology to help. But you see, the first thing has to be the government. Setting the stage first. In some areas, they've done wonderfully well.
Then you now have private sector.
You now have private sector. Because private sector would only do what they feel. If I come to you for money that I want to invest in healthcare, you first ask me, what is my return on investment?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I'm not getting return on investment, I'm not going into that business. Yeah. So we have to make healthcare profitable. So it's a multifaceted thing. There's also getting extra money from, let's say if you recharge 100 naira on your phone, 10% of that can go to healthcare.
Mm.
But then there's a problem of trust. Mm. People don't trust anymore.
The government to really put that money into
it. So am I sure that this 10 naira is really going into healthcare? Mm. These are the issues.
What's the next phase for the Apoko Doctors brand?
The next phase is moving from a personnel-led platform to a channel.
Yeah.
Where there are other voices.
Nice. I like that.
Because, like I said, an industry is not built on the shoulders of one person. You can't carry it, no matter how big you think you are. And so we are aware of that. One of the ways we're taking is we started what we call the Apoko Doctor Academy.
Okay, that's cool.
We train other health professionals to become better storytellers. Because we realize that there are a lot of people who are creative in their own lights.
I like that.
And they need an outlet. There are some people, medical students, who have seen what I've done and say, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've created a channel now that people no longer have to, until I wear stethoscope in the hospital,
yeah,
that means I'm practicing healthcare.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Because healthcare information is also healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more trusted voices out there, or else it's whatever is viral and popular that people believe. And at the end of the day, you're treating the mistakes that people who are not responsible for. You know, so that's one. So we're moving from that. But aside from that, we're also building what I call enabling environments. So a lot of our events now are community-based. So yes, it's online, Apricodoctor, beautiful online. But then if people are empowered with information, but they don't have the environment to carry that out, yeah, you've sort of lost half the battle.
Mm.
So now we're creating community environments for them. One of the ones that we did last year was called the Apricot Nation Fiesta. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Mm.
So the Apricot Nation Fiesta had its first edition last year. And
it was like a concert?
It was like a concert.
Yeah, I think I
saw. It was a concert for just healthcare.
Nice.
And the aim for that was to battle drug abuse.
Ah.
Because
so original,
yes,
vendors, manufacturers are able to exhibit.
Yes,
yeah, no,
yes.
That's good. That's
but good. It was drug abuse.
Okay.
And drug abuse in the sense that when you say party amongst young people, Igbo is inside. If there's no Igbo, there's Rohinol. If there's no Rohinol, somebody are giving you balloon. You might live in your own bubble and just assume that these things are not happening. But go out there. There are young people who are addicted to drugs at a very young age.
Jesus. Jesus.
These are the leaders of tomorrow.
Jesus.
Who would they lead? How would they lead? And so we said, rather than continue to perpetrate that,
mm-hmm,
let us have an alternative,
yeah,
and also create a new story,
yeah,
that you can have fun, healthy fun, without damaging your body. And people said it's impossible. You want to have a party without drugs, without alcohol, is not possible in Lagos State. They said, okay, we'll do it.
Nice one.
I think one of my characteristics that I love about myself, but other people in my life don't like, is I'm stubborn. Yes.
You like it, they don't like it.
But my stubbornness is not the loud, brash one.
Yeah.
It's the...
I call it mentally rebellious.
I would do this.
Mentally rebellious.
So, I said, okay, we'll do it. And it was at Murray Okunola Park. We did it. We had over 5,000 young people.
Wow.
In a place. These young people partied from 12 in the afternoon till 10 p.m. We're begging people, go home.
You don't.
They say, no. We party until sunrise. It's not me and you. Why? We created an alternative environment.
Yeah.
Most times we're complaining, yeah, but we're not creating alternatives.
That's my argument.
We're not creating alternatives. So community-based events are something. Because, yes, we live in a world that technology is uniting us all. But then, are we really connected to people?
Mm.
Someone said, if you want to know who your friend is, it was a tweet I saw. I said, delete your social media posts. Delete your social media accounts and find out if you still stay in touch with that person. Because sometimes, just because I see your posts, makes me think I'm close to you, but I'm not.
Mm. True.
Have I called
True.
You? How far?
True.
How are you?
True.
What's going on? Or is that, I see he's in Caribbean now.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you think that you're close to that person.
Yeah, right.
And then the person to upload. So
yeah,
we still, one thing that would never go out of fashion is human interconnectedness.
Yes,
we want that.
We need it.
Aside from that, we're also building solutions. One of the things that we've built is our doc.
Okay.
Because we realized, okay, yes, there's a gap. How can we use technology to fill that in?
Mm.
And so we created a WhatsApp chatbot that people who want answers to healthcare questions can get it, and it's powered by AI. But the beautiful thing is we're solving for AI equity, because when we say AI, who's training the AI?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely not us.
Yeah, that's my argument.
Exactly. Too. So what we're building with our dog is that we're building a chatbot that is learning from the Nigerian and African audience.
That's the way it should be.
So if I say, because usually the African skin,
mm-hmm.
dermatological conditions on the African skin is different.
It is.
So if you've trained an AI on other skins and you bring it here, it will make mistakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're training with our data.
Yeah.
We're using it to help doctors make easier diagnosis.
That's good. That's
people
good.
Are getting access to healthcare. We'll never get enough doctors in this short period. But in the meantime, that market woman on the streets can bring out her phone, chat with Nora. Oh, she can't type, but she can send voice notes in her local language. Mm. Our doc will respond to her.
Nice.
So that is the future. So what, just like I said earlier, the future is the mission has always been empowerment.
Nice.
Or for healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why since I started, I haven't done anything else.
Mm.
It's been healthcare for me.
Mm.
There have been temptations to do other things.
Mm.
We've made films.
Mm.
3 films.
Nice.
Actually.
On healthcare.
All healthcare.
That's good. That's good.
Because I can keep complaining and saying, we don't make movies on healthcare.
Okay.
Do
go
it.
And do it.
And in doing it, I'm realizing that it's hard.
Shooting films is hard. I've been trying to do one for like 2 years
now. It's hard.
I'm the script. Wait.
Shooting films is hard.
Well, we're out of time, but finally, you know, this has been viral, GMO, you know, no GMO. I wanted to ask, first of all, were you paid to promote GMO in Nigeria?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I was never paid by any company, body, individual, states, representative, whatever.
Of any NGO.
Of any NGO, government, anywhere in the world. Anybody who has evidence should come and present it.
Mm.
But one thing I know is I would not be distracted by, you know, speculation.
Yeah.
Speculations remain what they are. Speculations. Like I said, my mission has always been empowerment. There's been a lot of conversation about it. Let us talk about it. And
So COVID brought, and we're discussing this before now, brought a lot of fear, and it's a legit one, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of mistakes made during COVID. There were a lot of, and the world is yet to recover from the inflation caused by COVID, because countries are printing money, and you know, just because everything is shut down, no productivity. And so this has led to fear, which is part of probably what GMO is experiencing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, anything, enhancement, genetica, something, you know what, let's go back organic, let's go back to our... How do you speak to this fear, you know, that is out there?
First off, the fear is valid.
Mm.
The fear, valid. The second thing I would say is, if there is no foundation, it'll be difficult to... Okay. Second thing I'll say is, you can't easily change the mind of someone whose mind is already made up.
Very true.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You can have conversations,
mm.
but if a person has come into an argument without the intent to learn, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Most times we come into arguments with the intent to win.
Yeah. So logic is out of the window.
Exactly. I come into arguments to learn. Right? When we look at the world, it's not just GMOs, it's vaccines.
Yes.
There's a huge
distrust with vaccines.
Yes. There's a huge distrust with organizations, health organizations, right? And one of the things we need to understand is that we have a huge responsibility to ensure that we do not throw progress away on the platter of populism.
Mm.
Which is why it is very important that leaders make the right decisions.
Yes.
At every point in time.
Yeah.
Your decisions will always hurt one group or the other.
Very true.
But you have to ask yourself risks, benefits,
mm.
and ensure that the benefits always outweigh the risks.
Yeah.
We need to go back to the open table and have open conversations again.
Mm.
In order to win trust.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There have been so many narratives that are spreading now that sometimes silence doesn't help.
Mm.
We need to go back to the conversations and have them. Why?
But what happened, like the one you did? You did a video on GMO and everybody just assumed it was a brand ambassador.
The people who assumed did not watch that video to the end.
Mm.
It was a 7-minute video. In that same video, I said, people deserve choice. It's in the video.
Yeah.
I should know what I'm eating.
Yes.
I should be able to choose whether I want this
mm-hmm.
or want this.
Exactly. If I want something organic, I should know.
Whether as a farmer,
yeah.
I should be able to choose.
Yeah.
I should be able to make that choice.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have my livelihood taken from me. If I want to eat, I choose that. Right? But what has been happening is a lot of those products have been pushed into the markets without proper labeling, unlike other countries in the world.
Very true.
Unlike other countries of the world, you will see it. Non-GMO, GMO. Yes.
Yeah.
You choose.
Sure.
But we don't have that here.
Mm.
And those were the things I called for in that video. Because whether we like it or not, the farmers will tell you. I also clearly stated in that video, I'm not here to talk about the agricultural part.
Mm.
I am not a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to talk about the health part.
Yeah.
And the health part is, according to the buddies, which we take our knowledge from.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these buddies release research that is peer-reviewed. Peer-reviewed means it has gone to the highest levels and has been shown to be correct or accurate, or at least be within a certain probability of error. And they said, safe for human consumption.
Mm.
What's popular? What's popular is I can come on the other end and say, what tickles everybody's ears? And everybody likes me. And everybody likes me. Or states is, you know, so these are conversations that there's a lot of distrust, right? There's a lot of distrust.
So you have no regret that you did the video, because from your argument, there's a need to still have those conversations.
I don't have, as a matter of fact, I actually love that the video happened.
Okay.
Because immediately the video happened, the conversation started.
Yes. At least there's a conversation.
Now that came on screen.
Yeah.
To states, government officials came on screen. Genetic biologists came on screen. And not just social media screens, the big screens.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that simple video started off a spark of conversation.
Mm.
So sometimes your job is not to convince people, but to initiate conversations. Yes,
a conversation started. You know, even though there's sometimes you face a huge backlash for doing that, but you just have to face what is more important.
If you say backlash, did I annoy a lot of people? Yes, I did. Or the video did, because of the perception already in their head.
Yeah.
Perception already in
their head. Yes, 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 yes.
You know, some people have this argument that you're a super brand. I wrote an article, you know, I mean, my own real estate sector, you know, particular person had an issue and I wrote an article to defend him. And everybody I know said, no, you're a super brand. You can't do that. You know, don't talk about what does not concern you. Like, I mean, they went to, and I'm like, hey, what is going on? Why? So my view is this. I want to hear your own view on it. What is the use of a reputation that is not used? You know when people say, you have a reputation. Don't lose the reputation. If I am for a good cause, what's the point of me having a reputation? And I'm convinced about something, and I don't use that reputation to help.
So I would speak from two parts.
Yeah.
The first part I'll speak from is if you have a reputation and I like you, and your reputation does not align with what I think, it becomes a problem.
Mm.
Because I fail to realize that you are also human.
Thank you.
With your own beliefs and convictions, and are allowed to say them. The problem with being influential, one of the downsides, is that you think your thoughts and convictions reflect you, but they no longer do.
Mm.
There's a community that has rallied around you.
Mm.
So, whether you like it or not,
the day looks as if you are shifting away from their own ideology. They hit you.
Yes. And that's because we fail to realize that ideologies are bigger than people.
Wow.
We make the mistake of thinking that humans are bigger than ideologies. No. Ideologies are always, which is why no matter how many times you pull down someone around an ideology, another person rises to fill that spot. Because the ideology will always be bigger than the people. So people rally around concepts, around ideas, never around people. They only rally around people.
So they're just using you.
They're just using you to validate the ideology that they're
you are no longer the chief. Exactly. We have a new king.
Exactly.
That's wow.
So it's ideas. People come under.
But you understanding this, why do you still go under the knife for a cause like a GM?
I didn't go under any knife for GM.
Mm.
I simply stated the verifiable facts.
Yes.
On it. Which if you take to
any... remember what you said. Logic goes off the window.
Yes. Now, there's a difference between what's popular and what's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Something might be popular, but not accurate. And guess what happened?
Mm.
Everybody who, quote and unquote, used that wave to ride the trend.
Yeah.
Where are their thoughts now?
Mm.
Let me tell you why it's never about people. Mm. NAFDAC DJ came out and said, it's safe. And people said she was a fake professor.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I mean, this is a woman who has decades. Because there's already an ideology.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are difficult conversations. These are difficult conversations to have. Because it means you're challenging people to confront their own ideas. And accept that on this particular matter, I might be wrong.
Wow.
So, you're not battling logic.
At all.
You're battling emotions.
Yeah.
You're battling identities.
Hmm.
So, there were people who immediately saw that ride. They were like, let's ride it. Let's take the popular routes. There's the popular route and there's the unpopular one.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when you take the unpopular one, they will flog you, they will stab you, they will give you this, they will give you that, they will, you know, choke you, they will do this, they will do that, they will do that. But if you don't have a reason why, for some people, I just want to go viral.
Yes, just go viral. That's small, 2 second popularity, don't enter their head.
Mm-hmm. The moment they do that, usually after that, nobody hears them again. Because at the end of the day, nobody really cares about your voice.
Mm.
It's what's viral at the moment. You're just riding on that wave.
But to last long, you have to have your own voice. You have to be authentic. Yes. I always say that for me, being on social media is never about being perfect. I'm not a perfect person, but I want to be authentic. I want to be true to myself.
Because irrespective of the noise that happens,
exactly,
people see... No matter what happens, I can still trust this guy.
Exactly.
He might not say what I like now.
Exactly.
He might not say what I like, but...
But it's real.
Asha, because When the emotions
exactly
settle, when the emotions
yes
settle,
it does,
and people now go back
yeah
and start researching in the middle of the night. And I say,
where shall
but it's not supposed to say,
you should not have said it like that.
So at some
we
point
we like him. Yeah, we shouldn't be doing like yeah. that.
So at some point the argument shifts from what you said to how you said it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you know that people are now coming to terms with, you know, a shift from what you've said to how you said it. But guess what? At the end of it all,
yeah,
whether you like it, people are watching.
They're watching.
People are seeing this particular person. Yeah. Trend.
Exactly. Trend. Why this one is consistent.
This one is consistent. Yes. I've said a lot of things that have never been popular. Like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years.
No, I like this. Tolu, are you hearing?
Yes,
your generation, nah.
Sharp.
For 10 years. If I would have phased out, I would have phased out probably 3 years ago or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't have lasted this long.
True.
We'll stay because even when we say what's unpopular,
yeah,
I get dragged for it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not the first thing I've said that's unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
We said a lot of things are unpopular. We've said a lot. At the same time, they've carried me like this, they've crucified me, they've stabbed my side, water, blood and water have gushed out. There's nothing they've not done.
Wow.
But tomorrow, I'm still here.
Yeah, so why? We're here.
There's a mission. It's a mission. So, yeah.
Wow.
And this is probably, you know, probably a one-liner to anybody who wants to be influential.
Yeah.
It's never about the numbers.
The
numbers will come and go.
Yes.
It's about the impact you're making in the person's life. Look, leave the noise. When I step out into the streets.
Exactly.
And I see that woman who tells me, Aproko, thank
yes.
you. Ah, to me,
that's
beats,
more than 1 million views.
That beats every award you can give me. That woman
this.
On the streets, that man on the street who tells me, I changed my habits because of you. Thank you. I see kids, because the kids play with their parents' phones and they're being exposed to that. You're like, that's a Proko doctor, I say, yes. You've been imbibed with the right thinking, with the right information about health. Because now we have a gap in child content anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Children are exposed to adult content. That's why you can ask a child, what do you want to be? And it tells you, all right, let me not mention names before they drag me for it. You know, and it tells you somebody.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Because you're like, how do you know about this person?
That's true.
Growing up, I wanted to be something else.
Yeah.
Because I was exposed to child content.
Yeah.
And in those children content, I was learning. There are a few companies there and there. Kunde Kids, for instance, doing, you know, some things. Child content that actually educates.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. So even the foundation of education is gone. Not everybody will attend the best primary schools. Not everybody will, but at least entertainment sort of levels the ground for almost anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the best primary schools, but I read books as a child.
That's true.
That's why it feels like I can hold my own head up high anywhere in the world.
Yeah. That's storytelling.
Because the quality of the book, the quality of the information I read was there. But now everybody wants to go viral. Nobody wants to inform anymore. So whatever it takes for you to go viral, do it. And in the midst of virality, we're losing an entire generation that nobody's talking about. Yeah. We're just talking about ourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can go on and on. Poco Doctor, thank you for coming. Really appreciate this.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you guys learned. See you next week. Bye-bye.